नारद की जय। शांतवाच श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बो। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। आगे श्री असमद्रवती श्री श्री गुरु गौड़ांग। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, The Sage's Teachings at Kurukshetra. Text 13. It's a very important verse, very famous verse, one of Srila Prabhupada's favorites. I searched the database for this verse number, 1084.13, and got 400 hits. So Prabhupada liked to quote this verse a lot. So it's good to be familiar with it. We'll be looking at it closely today. So the word meanings, yasya, whose, atma, as his self, buddhihi, idea, kunape, in a corpse-like body, tridhatuke, made of three basic elements, swa, as his own, dihi, idea, kalatra, adishu, in wife and so on, Bhaume, in earth, Ijya, as worshipable, Dihi, idea, yet, whose, Tirtha, as a place of pilgrimage, Buddhi, idea, Salile, in water, Nakarhichit, never, Janeshu, in men, Abhigyeshu, wise, Saha, he, Eva, indeed, Gaha, a cow, Karaha, or an ass. Yasya atma buddhi kunape tridhatuke. Swadhi kalatradishu bhauma ijyadhi. Yatirta buddhi salile na karhiche. Janeshva Bhigyeshu Sa Eva Gokaraha. Yasyatma Buddhi Kunape Tridhatuke. Swadhi Kavatradishu Bhauma Ijyadi. Yatita Buddhi Salile Nakarhiche. Janeshva Bhigyeshu Sa Eva Gokhara. Yasya Atma Buddhi Kunape Tridhatuke. Swadhi Kalatradishu Bhauma Ijyadi. Yatita Buddhi Salile Nakarhiche. Janeshva Vigyeshu Sa Eva Gokhara. Yasyatma Buddhi Kunape Tridhatuke. Swadhi Kalatradishu Bhauma Ijyadi. Yatirtha Buddhi Salile Nakarhiche. Janeshva Bhigyeshu Sa Eva Gokhara. Yasyatma Buddhi Kunape Tridhatuke.
Svadhikalatradishu bhavma idyati. Yateta buddhi hrilena karhate. Nisya bingeshu saeva gokaraha. Nisya atma buddhi kunape krithatuge. Svadhikala tradishu bhavna izyadi. Yateta buddhi hrilena karhate. Janesha vinyeshu saeva gokaraha. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke. Svadhi kalatradishu bhavma izyati. Yateta buddhi salilena karhite. Janesha bhangeshu saeva gokaraha.
Translation. One who identifies his self as the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, worships, or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. Purport. True intelligence is shown by one's freedom from false identification of the self. As stated in the Brihaspati Samhita, Agyata Bhagavad Dharma Mantra Vijnana Samvidaha Naraste Gokhara Gyeya Api Bhupala Vanditaha. Men who do not know the principles of devotional service to the Supreme Lord should be known as cows and asses. Even if they are expert in technically analyzing Vedic mantras and are adored by world leaders. An imperfect Vaishnava advancing toward the second class platform identifies himself with the sages who have established the true spiritual path, even while he still may have some inferior material attachments to body, family, and so on. Such a devotee of the Lord is not a foolish cow or stubborn ass like the majority of materialists. But most excellent is the Vaishnava who has gained the special mercy of the Lord and broken free from the bondage of illusory attachments altogether. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the words Bhavma Ijadihi, who thinks an image made of earth is worshipable, refer not to the deity form of the Supreme Lord in his temple, but to deities of demigods. And the words Yatheta Buddhi Salile, who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, refers not to sacred rivers like the Ganges or Yamuna, but to lesser rivers. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Now we know the context of this famous verse. Krishna is glorifying the sages at Naimisharanya. So in the purport also we see that it's described, some of the points are described in the context or in relationship to the sages. And of course, the last part of this verse says that when one goes to a holy place, one should associate with the sages. So that's how it comes together. Well, the various parts of this verse, these are all characteristics of someone who is Gokara, Especially this last line, Prabhupada would often quote, Janeshua Bigeshu Saiva Gokara, tower and ass, or he would just refer to it, you know which verse he was quoting, as you can often tell what verse Prabhupada is referring to, even if he doesn't quote the Sanskrit. Actually, I noticed this a lot, especially in the first cantos of the Bhagavatam. You read the purports and you can see what verse, if you're familiar with verses that Prabhupada quotes often, you can see that Prabhupada made a point of not quoting Sanskrit when he was translating the Bhagavatam, especially the first cantos that he did in India. He didn't hardly put any Sanskrit in there. So you can see that he's actually giving the verse, just like this verse. You can find it in a purport somewhere, but with no Sanskrit and no citation given that this is from Bhagavatam, such and such. He just makes the point. So you could see the Prabhupada was thinking this is for a Western audience, and I don't want to, you know, confuse them with all this Sanskrit, but I'll just give them the translation or the paraphrasing, the points that are being made in these different verses. So Prabhupada would often refer to this when he would talk about how people are like animals today. The two animals, of course, sometimes we wonder, cow, why is this Prabhupada deprecating the cow here? Or the sages, or Krishna is, actually, Krishna is speaking that. So the cow, the idea is that both of them are not very intelligent. When you're in an animal body, what is it? Prabhupada would say people are like animals today because they don't inquire into the absolute truth. The purpose of human life is to hear from the sages, to hear about transcendental subject matters. And the animals cannot do that, as he would often say. Now we're speaking, but the dogs and cats, they're not here. They're not coming to listen. They're not interested. So people who are not interested, they're like that. They're like cats and dogs. Or in many ways, people are like animals. They're just interested in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Or, I'm saying another way to put that is, people are, you want something to eat, you want shelter, you want a mate, and you want security. And that's pretty much what it's about, isn't it? You want to make sure you have food on the table, a place to live, a mate, and security. So eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So that's really what people are concerned with. That's their what their whole thought is about, securing these things and having security to enjoy them. But if that's your only thought, and you don't think, you know, how did I get here? Why am I in this situation? Why am I suffering? Who am I? And so on. Then, Saiva Gokara, you're a cow or an ass. Actually, here they care. Characteristics are given. What did it say? A foolish cow or a stubborn ass. So these are considered to be the, I guess, their main characteristics. I used to hear, I don't know if Prabhupada gave this example, but I heard that if a baby cow dies, in order for the mother to give milk, they sometimes keep the baby cow there, then the mother will give milk. Or they have some imitation cow or something. And the cow is so foolish she doesn't realize that the cow is dead, her baby is dead, but she'll continue to give milk. Now, this is an example of not being very smart. So the cow, of course, animals, if you're in an animal body, we see the cows are in the mode of goodness, of course, because they're just grazing and they're giving milk. But still, if you go to the cow and try to carry on a conversation, or you're not going to get much response. So they're embedded in that body. No, it's a foolish existence. And the ass, of course, the ass demonstrates different characteristics. One here is described as stubborn. So people are stubborn because they won't accept the obvious, even when it's presented to them. Especially today, people are they won't change their position. If you tell them good philosophy, they're just too stubborn to change their ideas, to attach to it. And the ass is also characteristic of the person who's working, mudha, working hard, working hard, working hard, but just suffering, continue to suffer, going on and on and on, like the ass going after the carrot at the end of the stick, at the end, and hanging out in front of his nose, thinking some way he's going to get it, but he's never going to get it. So this is their foolishness. So specific things are mentioned here. First, to accept the body as the self. Yasi atma buddhi. So atma means the self, buddhi, to have the idea. Kunape tridhatuke, that it's a bag of three things. Tridhatu. Dhatu also means root. So the elementary things that this body is made of. mucus, bile, and air. This is from the Ayurveda, this idea. I also have the doshas, which are composed of these. So, tri dhatuke, this is what the body is made of. Sometimes properly go through a whole list. Bloods, bone, hair, mucus, stool, urine. So many nice things. One lecture. So many nice things. And we are thinking, this is who I am. This is who I am. This bag of mucus and all these horrible, ghastly things. We can just see it's such a nice example of illusion, isn't it? Because, and we think that this is who I am, but we think that some other bag made of these things is so attractive. And even though we have higher knowledge, still we're attracted. That illusion is so deep, but it's so foolish when you think of it, because that's actually what it is. If I were to give you a handful of these things, you would just say, ah, it's disgusting. Sometimes I think even in our own bodies, for example, we have, like in our mouth, we have saliva. So it's when it's in our mouth, it doesn't bother us, right? And you don't feel disgusted because you have saliva in your mouth. But as soon as it leaves your mouth, then it's not me anymore. Then it's disgusting. But when it's in my body, then it's beautiful. Huh? This beautiful body I have made up of these things. So how? This is like a cow in ass. It's not intelligent to think this is who I am. And of course, philosophically, we get our idea of what the self is from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, that's the very first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. You are not this body. Dehi no smin yata dehi. So, and then of course, Krishna gives so many of the characteristics of the soul. But just this idea that we're the conscious observer within the body, we're the experiencer of the body. It's so hard for people to grasp this, even though we explain it. Now, of course, today, people, their minds are befuddled by scientific ideas, and they always think that, well, it's just the neurons firing or so on. But these things explain the mechanism of the brain or even the mechanism of thought, but they don't explain the experiencer, the conscious self who's experiencing these things. Several years ago, I read a book by some professor, an academic book, and it was called Consciousness and some subtitle, I forget what it was. So he was analyzing different material conceptions of the self and others as well, or consciousness, specifically consciousness, because it's a great challenge for science, how to explain consciousness. And what often happens is when scientists try to explain consciousness, they don't. They're not actually explaining what it is. They're explaining some manifestation of it, for example. Just like awareness and consciousness, they're not exactly the same thing, because we always have consciousness, but we may be unconscious. The consciousness is still there. So this one point this professor made, which I thought was quite liberal of him, he says that it may be that there are people who have a more subjective appreciation of what consciousness is. In other words, not academic in academic terms, but just within themselves, they have a better perception of what consciousness is. So I was saying, yes, that's exactly right. That's what we say, that's what the yogi is. That's what the yogi is doing. The yogi is experimenting. He's calming the mind to try to get to the core. Get rid of all the nati-nati. Try to get rid of all the extraneous things, all the conditioning that we have. The way we think, we think we're free, but we've been programmed. Our whole lives we're programmed to think in certain ways. Even our thoughts aren't our own. You just have to look at popular culture and you see people think they're free, but they're just thinking all the same thoughts, basically. So get rid of all of that stuff and come to the core, the self, the experiencer of these things. So that's our investigation also, of course. We're trying to come to that. I have a question. I don't know the answer myself, actually. I think of this, we have our ado, shraddha, tatu sadhu, sangha, bhajana, kriya, narta, nivritti, and so on. So I think, where in that journey, does ahambrahmasmi come in, exactly? When do we realize I'm not this body? When we're progressing, we're supposed to be working towards prema, and you would think that somewhere in there, I'm going to realize that I'm not this body. I'm sure it comes after anartha nivritti, but where exactly, I'm not sure. But one thing Prabhupada said in this regard about, he said, when you realize the self, then of course you become joyful. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Just that in itself, even if you put bhakti aside, there's a kind of happiness, relief at least, when you realize that I'm not this body. So Prabhupada quoted, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. He says, all your misery, all your troubles go away. But this is the first installment of chanting Hare Krishna. I was thinking, well, I'm still waiting for that first installment to come. The first installment of mercy, when is that going to come? When there's no more misery. Because you realize, when you realize you're not this, but because all the misery comes from the body. Of course, the body and the mind. So when you get away, get rid of this covering, because these are coverings or koshas, these are coverings of the self. If you can get rid of those coverings by chanting, that's what we're doing. Cheto Dharpanam Arjanam. We're scrubbing the coverings, getting rid of the coverings. So when we break through that and get to the self, then all the miseries go away. That in itself is a great, it's not bliss exactly, but it's a kind of happiness, a relief. I'm not suffering anymore. So that's, of course, what we're trying to do. We're hoping for that stage to come eventually. Now, another argument Prabhupada would make in relation to the self, he would say, just ordinarily people will talk about when someone dies, they will say, oh, he's gone. My son is gone, or my father is gone, and so on. But then Prabhupada would say, no, he's right there. That person you thought was your father or son is right there. Why are you saying he's gone? Because there's an intuitive sense that, well, the consciousness is gone, so that person is gone. But still, they don't make the connection. There was actually a person within that body who is now gone, and I'm a person in this body, and I will be passing on too. So this is in some editing books. They say you shouldn't say person passed on, because this is just a euphemism for death. You should say died, because the person died. But we can justify it. We can say, no, a person did pass on. In fact, nobody died. That's an illusion. Death is an illusion. The passing on is the reality. The person did leave the body. So this is just kind of a common understanding. We have the sense that some person was there, now that person is gone on to another place. Of course, people, they often say, gone on to a better place, they hope. But it may not be a better place. That's another problem. We talk to people sometimes, of course, part of this, well, I'm not this body, is you're going to get another body. You're in this body now, and you're getting another body according to how you're acting now, and you may even become an animal in your next life. So Prabhupada was surprised when he made that point in some person responded, well, that's okay, I don't mind. You may be a dog in your next life. So Prabhupada's thinking, how horrible. And the person is responding, oh, it's not so bad. Yeah, my dog seems to be doing okay. But not every dog is, you know, pampered pup and you carry around in your purse. You know, they have their, I don't know what they call it, they have some name for it. You know, they carry around their little dogs, or they push them in baby carriages and all kinds of. So you may not be a pampered dog like that. You may be a street dog, huh? Or you may not be so lucky to be a dog. You might be a cockroach. Think about that one. All the different bodies we can get. Sometimes when I'm walking and I see holes, you know, in the ground. So you know what those holes are. Some animals living there. That's where that skunk or armadillo or possum or whatever it is, a lot of them, they live inside the ground. And they don't, I was looking, because we've been getting a lot of skunks around here, so I went on the internet to find out about skunks so I don't, you know, get sprayed by one. So I saw what their life is. They only come out when it's towards the end of night, when it's a little bit light, because they can't see very well. They can smell well and they hear well, but they can't see very well. So that's about the only time they come out of their holes, is in the morning when it starts getting light. Otherwise, they're pretty much always living underground. So imagine that kind of existence. Is that what you want? You're not going to be sitting as a dog and, you know, on a nice plush sofa watching TV. That's, you might think, being a dog. You may be living inside a hole or so many other, of course, all the insects and all the other kinds of lives you can get. So we have to, that's an impetus to realize the self so that I can use my self for a higher goal and not end up like that. So the second thing mentioned here is Swadhi Kalatradishu That means to think my wife and Adishu means children and relatives and friends and everything else, home and everything. It begins with the wife. The Prabhupada says we start alone, then man or woman, then the two come together, and then everything expands from there. So swadhi, to think that those are mine, and as the translation says here, to think they're mine permanently, which of course people think. They think that we're going to, you know, we're together now, and then we're all going to go to heaven, and then we'll all be together there. We'll have our little heavenly suburb, and we'll enjoy it together. Even our dog will be there. Actually, some scientists did some experiments. I read this book years ago from a scientist, a scholar from Arizona, University of Arizona or Arizona State. I forget one of those. It's called the Afterlife Experiment, if I remember correctly. And they did this whole thing where they tried to get psychics to tell people where their lost ones had gone and things like that. So these psychics, some of them apparently were saying, "Oh yes, I see your brother there, and there's a dog with him." And the person would get all excited. "Oh, my dog's there too. My dog's on the other side. Great." So that's what they're hoping, you know. My dog died. I hope I get to see my dog on the other side. So that attachment is so strong. Everything in relationship to us, to me, then I'm so attached to it. I think this is mine, and this is eternally who I am. I'm eternally this body. Somehow this is my identity. This is who I am. So all the things connected to this identity will also last forever. So then Bhama Yajadi, now this is translated in two ways. Bhama, of course, means earth. So Bhama Yajadi means to think the land of my birth is worshipable. That's because this body that I think is the self came up from this earth, this country. It's an American body, so America is worshipable because I'm wonderful. I love myself first, of course. Then, so America is also to be loved, or wherever I'm from. It's a worshipable place. Sometimes people even do that, come in from another country to get down and kiss the earth, you know, their country. They're so happy to be there. So we say, well, of course, it's natural. Well, it is natural when you're in Maya. So many things are natural, but it's not really natural, of course. It's unnatural because being in this body is unnatural. And of course, Prabhupada would point out, we love our country so much, we'll give our lives for it. There was that, I remember learning in school, this famous, was it Patrick Henry or one of these guys? Nathan Hale, that's right, Nathan Hale. He was being killed in the Revolutionary War. And he said, "I only regret that I have only one life to give for my country." So, how wonderful. Of course, Prabhupada would say, yes, you can come back to your country as a rat or something. So we think, and this land of mine is worshipable and glorious, and I'll die for it. Then the other way it's translated is to think of the deities as an earthen image as worshipable. So here in the purport, it was clarified, it was talking about demigod worship. Demigods are not actually worshipable. We offer them respect, but we don't worship them like we worship the deity of Krishna. So then, yet dirti buddhi salile nakarhijaj. To go to a place of pilgrimage and think, now I just have to take bath here. That's all I have to do. I just go there and take a bath. And maybe there's other rituals. Actually, what we find today at many, especially the most popular holy places, there are always the priests there. And they all, that's how they make their living, is getting money from the pilgrims. So they say, oh, you have to do this ritual. You must do this ritual. So we'll show you how to do this ritual. So do this, and light this, and touch your nose, and say this, and you know, all these things. And they, of course, they have to make it look very elaborate and convincing. So do all these things. So maybe they may have some basis in the scripture. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of things are probably just, who knows what, made up. But to impress the people that they're, you know, they're doing something worthwhile while they're coming there to this holy place. And of course, what's behind it all, generally, people go there not for self-realization, not for spiritual realization. They go there for some boon. They want to get something in return. It's a business. Even Tirupati, they make so much, millions and millions of dollars. So people go there, they want a son, or they want their business to be successful, or they want to be cured of some disease, or these kinds of things. So that's the motive in going there, not this is where the sadhus live. And there are still sadhus living at holy places. This is where the sadhus live. Let me talk to a sadhu and ask him, who am I? Why am I suffering? What's the purpose of life? How do I advance in spiritual life? Give me some spiritual practice that I can make advancement in spiritual life. These questions tend not to come. Just some ritual. Take a bath, get cleansed of my sins, and then maybe my fortunes will change. My life will get better in this world. But of course, that's not the point. The point is to meet the sadhus. So that's, of course, this is what ties into this, the context, these verses. Krishna is glorifying the sadhus. They're as places of pilgrimage themselves. Now, of course, the sadhus come to you. And Prabhupada, he came, he's the sadhu, across the ocean. He bought the Tirtha, he brought Vrindavan Dham to America and established in so many places. Here we have New Ramanwati Dham. This is a Dham. Wherever the deities are being worshipped, that's the Dham. It's a holy place of the Lord. So the sadhus, you can meet them at holy places. But the greatest sadhu, of course, is the sadhu who brings the holy place everywhere, which, of course, was Srila Prabhupada's great contribution to us and to the whole world, delivering people from this condition of being a cow or an ass. For the verse again, Hasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatute swadhi kalatradishu bhavma ijjadi yatirta buddhi salile nakarhicha janeshu abhigyeshu sa eva gokaraha. One who identifies himself as the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees the place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, or worships or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. Bhakti Charles.
Yeah, this disparaging of our fellow creatures on this planet, I mean, this seems to be, something I have a hard time getting my mind around. I mean, they are what they are. I mean, the idea that we sort of become a cockroach or something, like it's got human consciousness, oh God, this is terrible, I'm a cockroach, what a terrible thing. This doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, I can't see, a cockroach doesn't know it was a human being, or so, these doesn't, I mean, they don't seem to. And they seem fairly happy being this idea that we have this sort of gradation or a hierarchy of, you know, like pigs and stool and all this stuff. I mean, they're pigs, and that's what they do. So maybe you could elucidate a little more on that one, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true. When you're complete ignorance, you don't realize that you're suffering, but you are suffering. So, actually, Prabhupada, he would sometimes respond to that. So, you have my blessings. You can become a dog or you can become this. Because it's a horrible thing. And that also Prabhupada would say, they think it is okay, but we think, oh, this is horrible. Because, you're right, we adapt. In fact, you're in illusion right now thinking, oh, this isn't so bad. You know, I'm a 21st century American and basically have some health and life's not so bad. But from a higher perspective, it is bad. And there is suffering. And we want to deliver you from suffering. So it is a horrible... We're meant to be with Krishna in the spiritual world. That's where we belong. And just because we have some amnesia and we don't remember our real position, just like that, wouldn't you think it's a horrible if some person is, you know, some great person that has all kinds of family and friends and all kinds of money and they get banged on the head and then they don't know who they are? And then they're just living on the street and, begging for their next meal. When you think, oh, how unfortunate, how horrible. You may think, well, the person doesn't know, so they're not really, you know, it's not that big a deal. But it is a big deal, whether they know or not. Look what they're missing out on. So that's the thing. Look what they're missing out on. And look at the difference, the extreme, as you say, gradation. And that your consciousness has come so low that you practically don't exist. Your consciousness is so constricted and so shriveled up that you're it's almost as if you don't exist because you're not aware of anything. What's going on in the world, reality, so covered over. So it is true, we adapt. In fact, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says that the soul takes pleasure in hellish delights. So it's actually hellish existence, but somehow you adapt. Oh, it's not so bad. You know, you're in hell and you say, well, it's a little bit cooler over here. Step over a few feet. So it's just relative degrees of suffering. So, yes, we may adapt. Our consciousness may adapt. In fact, I was mentioning this to somebody the other day. I forget who it was. I was saying I used to think, oh, it might be nice to be a bird if I had to be an animal because you fly around everywhere. Then I was watching birds one day and I thought, well, they don't have any hands. That's not so nice. They had to do everything with their mouth. A gorilla has hands. He has hands and wings. That's not so bad. That's good. But to be without hands, and whoever I said this to said, well, it's not bad for them. The bird doesn't mind not having hands. But I don't know. To me, that doesn't make sense. The bird is also suffering. What does a bird do all day? Always looking. And fear, that's the other thing. How afraid. Fear is so prominent when you're materially encaged in the body. Then the animals, they're always so fearful. They don't have anything to be afraid of. We're not going to hurt them. The deer, you can't get 100 feet away from a deer, they'll run away. We're not going to hurt the deer. But they're so afraid, always. All these animals, I think, what do, are there predators for these animals? Is there a predator for a skunk? What foxes do they eat? I don't think so. But why is a skunk afraid all the time, you know? Or all of these animals, they're always afraid, and I don't even know why they're afraid. But when you're in those bodies, in the body, you're always afraid because you think I may die at every moment. That's a fact. So in every condition, there's fear there, and there's the whole of the struggle for existence is there. Just to eat, the animals spend their whole so much time just trying to get something to eat. So whether you're just in the illusion, well, this is who I am, it's not a good situation. That's about all I can say about that. It's not good, even if you're identifying with the body. Yes, Prabhu.
Just wanted to share a Kali Yuga dog story. A couple winters ago, I was in Toronto. And where the temple is located in Toronto, I was walking to the temple. It's a very upmarket area. So you'd walk through and all the cars, everybody would be trying to outdo everybody else with the kind of car they had. There was all the Lexus and Audis and everything there. But the latest trend in Toronto in the winter is everybody's got these boutique dogs. They're just, you know, all different, you know, foo-foo this and all kinds of really funny looking dogs. But that's not enough because it's winter in Toronto. Now they wear shoes, a jacket, and a hat. And every single dog that was walked along the street is wearing shoes, a jacket, and a hat. And I remember I was looking and thinking, this is just, how is these dogs feeling? And then I saw this bulldog, big bad bulldog, walking down the street dressed as a sailor. And I was thinking, Kali Yuga, wow, this is just too much.
Probably now that people become conditioned, they think you're cruel to your animal if you don't have them dressed up. Jim Ashtami Prabhu?
A couple points. It's interesting that Prabhupada in the Krishna book and in other places in the Bhagavatam where he translates this verse, he doesn't mention cow. Mm-hmm. He'll say an animal or an ass.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't put the cow
on, you know, cow.
Give him a bad name. You know? In terms of when we become free from the bodily conception, if you analyze it from the standpoint of when Klesha Agni kicks in, when we, you know, it's the first characteristic of pure devotional service. Uttama Bhakti begins when one's on the platform of Nishta. That parallel is made by Bhajanotakur in Jaiva Dharma.
I have one other question.
So after anartha nivritti comes nishta.
Yeah.
And nishta is uttama bhakti, and uttama bhakti is when kleshagni takes place, right. Which is the first, which means kleshagni means when you get rid of all your miseries.
Right. And it's also, you know, that's when one comes to the Madhyama Vaishnava platform. Mm-hmm. Bhaktivinoda Thakura equates those two, practicing uttama bhakti, Madhyama platform, and nishta. One other point, but I can't remember.
Somebody else? Divyanga Prabhu.
The picture of the father, the passed away father, is on the mantle in the nice house. The Prabhupada said, but no one knows that the father is in the commode. He's taken birth as a cockroach. So I just, you know, anybody, would you choose a cockroach and then say, well, I'm just a cockroach. I didn't notice I was in the commode. Mm-hmm. No one would choose that.
Mm-hmm. There's another. Huh?
There's another that Prabhupada says that a person is walking along and they think, you know, they're so happy and they do not know at the next moment they may be a dog. In the very next moment. I was having a dream last night. My alarm went off this morning in the middle of my dream, and then I was thinking, this may be what death is like. So one moment that kind of reality that you create in a dream, you think it's real, and then the next moment you're in a different reality. So of course, I always wonder what it's like when you die. What exactly happens? It's not really spelled out anywhere that I know. I always wonder, do you have an aha moment where you say, oh, I'm not this body? Or do you immediately start identifying with something else? I don't know how it works exactly. Anyway.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Very nice class. But this is just a mundane point, but the point is actually the animals are actually getting abused and harassed terrifically. I have this one email address. I have a couple of email addresses. Mm-hmm. One of them is with petitions. So there's a petition about Norwegian foxes that are being killed, and there's about 2,700 people going after them that are all hunters with big, you know, all kinds of hunting gear. And they're killing these foxes that are about to be extinct. And, you know, it's, you know.
Yeah, that's another whole side of it. If you're in an animal body, you don't know what human beings are going to do to you.
Exactly.
What to speak of your predator. The main predator is the humans.
Right. You got it.
All right, let's stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.
Thank you.